Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest, Pastor Jeff Wickwire of Turning Point Church. Today's topic is friendship and relationships.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and I'm here this morning with a very special guest. He has many titles, but the one that I choose to introduce him under today is Pastor Jeff Wickwire. He is the pastor of Turning Point Church, and he just happens to be my spiritual authority and my spiritual covering. Good morning, Pastor Jeff Wickwire.
Hello, Janine. It's good to be here.
Welcome to Vine Life.
Thank you.
This morning, we're going to be sharing something, and I wanted to share this with my audience. The Holy Spirit led you to write a book several years ago on friendships and relationships, and I read the book twice. It really helped me to achieve success in a place of organizing and drawing boundaries in my relationship. And I wanted to give this to my audience. So, Pastor Jeff, I just want to start off at the base of the foundation of what place you were in that the Holy Spirit drew you to write this and share this book with the body of Christ.
Well, it's great to be with you, Janine. And let me say that after pastoring for a number of years, you know, you begin to see what drags people down or what picks them up. What becomes a problem? What does the enemy use to really attack God's people? And I just began to see over time that one of the great weapons of the enemy against us as God's children is wrong relationships. Now, we tend to think of teenagers when you think of this, and you know how they hook up with the wrong crowd and go bad. But I began to see that it happens with singles and dating.
Mm-hmm.
It happens with business partnerships. It happens in, you know, a woman will join a health club and make friends that are not necessarily godly. And I began to see that the influence of the ungodly almost always pulled down the godly. And then, of course, I could look back on my own life even before I knew the Lord, and I could see that one of the things that really damaged me and really led me astray was when I hooked up with people who were influential in a very evil or wicked or negative way. And I could look back and see, well, I went from sort of a kind of messing up to really messing up when I got in the wrong relationships. And mm-hmm. So I began to study the scriptures on this, and I began to see that starting with God's people, when he called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and the Jewish nation began to form, one of the things that God told them at the very beginning is don't intermarry with the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't intermarry with pagans. Don't intermarry with idolaters, because you will be pulled into their error. And then he also told them, don't fellowship. When I carry you into the promised land, don't begin to intermingle with the ungodly, because they will drag you down. And of course, Israel never listened, never obeyed. They did that very thing, and they were corrupted every single time. And so I began to see a principle. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I'm really strong, so I can have this ungodly relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I will bring them up. They
right.
will bring me down.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to see that 9 times out of 10, that's not what happens.
And you're not really talking about the sisters, because a lot of my sisters feel, I know he's not saved, but I love him, and God put him in my life, and I'm going to change him.
Well, I'm very much talking about the sisters. Yeah, because I've seen too many of the sisters and brothers date somebody and then marry them
mm-hmm.
against the counsel of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is very clear. What fellowship does light have
with
darkness?
Mm-hmm.
And Christ have with the devil?
Yes.
And he's extremely clear. And in the book, Friendships, I talk about the difference. There's different levels of relationship. And people tend to kind of jump on me when I teach this and say, well, we're supposed to witness and we're supposed to reach people. And I say, I totally agree. And that is where the different levels of relationship come in, because there is an acquaintance level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth level, the highest level, is the intimate level.
Right.
You know, your best friend, the person you're with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the same places, do the same things, share your hearts with each other.
And in the book, Pastor, you suggest that they may be very, very few in a lifetime. If you have one, it's a gift.
Yeah, I mean,
to find those intimate, close relationships.
Kathy and I have a couple of relationships. We were out with one couple recently that we have known for 37 years. Kathy and I celebrated our 35th anniversary last Monday. They celebrated theirs a couple of months ago. We were married around the same time. We've ministered together all these years, and they are some of our very best friends, but they walk with God. So as iron sharpens iron,
yes,
so a man's friendship sharpens the countenance of his friend. When you're running with the godly, you sharpen each other. You encourage each other. That's the will and the plan of God for a godly relationship.
And you hold each other accountable.
You do.
Without offense.
You do. David and Jonathan were great examples of this. They helped each other, encouraged each other, pushed each other forward into God's best for them. They complimented one another. Jonathan was willing to give his life for David. It was a sacrificial best friend relationship. That's the kind God wants us to have. The danger is you can feel a natural affinity towards somebody and assume that because there is that affinity, that chemistry, that you're supposed to be together.
Or that they're going to reciprocate and give that to you.
Yeah. And the bottom line is that you can see that Solomon apparently felt great affinity for hundreds of different women. And, you know, I mean, we could probably debate on what,
you know, there's some
his attraction
that
was.
That's what drove him mad. Those women drove him crazy.
Well,
most
you know,
men can't handle one. And Solomon had, what, hundreds, thousands?
He had 1,000, which is incomprehensible. But the scripture is clear that it was those foreign idolatrous women who pulled Solomon out of his walk with God.
Okay.
Of course, he had to be open to it. He disobeyed God doing it. But once he got in, Janine, once he opened that door, those relationships became bigger than he was. They overwhelmed him.
And their gods.
And their gods.
And their traditions.
And so we find the man who wrote most of the Proverbs, who penned Ecclesiastes, who is known for the wisest man on the face of the earth, yet at the end of his life, he was building altars for the idol Moloch, and he was giving the green light to sacrificing living babies in the red-hot arms of this idol, sacrificing them, burning them alive. This is what this man was dragged down into because of wrong relationships. Now, that's extreme, but let me tell you, you can get into a wrong relationship and find yourself over time talking in ways, doing things, accepting things, agreeing with things that before you knew this person or these people, never would you ever have done it. But it's a slow, almost imperceptible seduction.
Yes.
And this is why God says we need to learn to draw a line. You need to be careful. The Bible says, choose your friends wisely. The Bible promises that evil company will corrupt
good
morals.
Yeah, that's what it says.
It promises that.
Yes.
So Christians, a lot of times, are very emotion-driven.
Yes.
You know, in our culture, we place a real premium on emotion. And we marginalize truth. Our culture teaches us if you feel it, it's legitimate. But the Bible says if you feel it, it may be completely illegitimate.
Right.
The Bible says that our hearts can lead us astray. There is a way that seems right to a man.
Mm-hmm.
There is a relationship that may seem right to you, but the end of it mm-hmm. can be death mm-hmm. if you don't run it through the filter of God's truth.
Well, Pastor, what do you think we as Americans, human nature, women, what do you think we get fixed on a relationship and we want it so bad that we think that we can change this person? I mean, if we can change ourselves mm-hmm. towards God, I think, you know, I tell people, if I have taken dominion over myself today, I've done the world a favor. I've done a big mm-hmm. thing, let alone someone else.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, you see it time and time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, when we seek God and God gives us the wisdom, we still seem to want to hold on to those damaging relationships.
Well, because I think there's several things involved there. Number one, we all want to be loved. No one likes to be lonely. And I think sometimes we have a fear that if we let this go, we'll never have another one like it.
Okay.
And the enemy comes in and says, you know, I mean, one of his great jobs and one of his master abilities is to persuade you and me that we must settle for, mm-hmm. that we must settle for something that we know deep down is really not mm-hmm. God's best.
Mm-hmm.
And again, scripture is replete with examples of this. You know, Esau coming out of the woods and there is Jacob with a bowl of stew.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, I know you're hungry. I know you're tired. Look what I've made for you. Kind of blew the fragrance into his face
mm-hmm.
and said, it's yours. All I want is your birthright.
That was his brother.
And it was his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He said, well, I'm starving. What's the birthright? And for immediate gratification,
he gave it away.
He gave it away. Yeah. And the Bible says he later sought to get it back with tears and
mm-hmm.
couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say that because of physical hunger, he settled for something that haunted him the rest of his life. And I think we can have soul hunger.
Okay.
And the enemy comes and he essentially blows the fragrance of a relationship
mm-hmm.
into our senses and says, you're hungry. You've worked hard. You deserve a break today. You've waited a long time. Here it is right here. And yet behind that is a hook. If you accept it and you take that stew, then you have just traded
mm-hmm.
one thing for another.
Mm-hmm.
You have traded immediate gratification for long-term blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my heart. You know, I see, you know, we human beings, it's so easy for us. We're like raccoons. You know, I used to have a pet raccoon. Raccoons, they are drawn to what glitters, what glistens, what is shiny. They gather metal, they gather marbles, they gather things that appeal to their eye. And they tuck them away, and they're drawn to that kind of thing. And so are we. We're drawn to the immediate, what glitters, what glistens, what pulls on the lust of the eye,
for
the lust of the flesh.
Right now.
For right now.
Uh-huh.
And if we're not careful, we can make a very ill-advised trade.
Yes.
And end up getting what we wanted, but not wanting what we got.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge price to pay.
It is. It's a huge, and some are worse than others. Some, you know, you may have for years. You may have for life. Others, you may have the mercy to be able to get out of it and make a different decision later. But anyway, it's this whole thing of relationships. You know, over and over again, Israel lost out because they made relationships, commitments and covenants with the ungodly. So I encourage our people, and with the book Friendships, I was wanting to tell the body of Christ, you know, let's be discerning. Forget this political correct nonsense
mm-hmm.
that you can't judge, mm-hmm. that you shouldn't hold somebody up to judgment, that you shouldn't judge somebody's character,
right,
or their walk with God,
right,
or the validity of their Christianity. Mm-hmm. Yes, you should.
Yes, and you teach that.
Yeah.
But Pastor, it says here, a wrong relationship is the enemy's smoothest point of entry into the life of the godly.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up a door. Because just as the things you just said, most mm-hmm. Christians are afraid to judge, or were brought up, you know, from a child, oh, don't judge. The Bible says don't judge. They take that one scripture out of context.
They do.
And they end up destroying their lives.
They do. I have come to believe that Satan's favorite two words in today's culture is judge not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lost quote that verse all the time, Matthew 7, where Jesus said, verse 1, in his last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, judge not that you be not judged.
Mm-hmm.
The ungodly, the secular world, loves to quote that.
Mm-hmm.
The politically correct people love to hammer you with
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
and say, who are you to judge me?
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to judge anybody. Mm-hmm. You've got mistakes too mm-hmm. and faults too and shortcomings and whatnot.
But we're judging by the word of God
yeah,
and what he says.
In John 7, Jesus said, judge with righteous judgment. And in Matthew 7, he was not saying we should not judge character or somebody's walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, don't judge presumptuously.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge without the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And don't judge without having the intent to restore.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not telling us to throw common sense out the door.
Right.
You have to judge.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, I've got four dogs. If you throw them something to eat that they've never seen, even they will sniff it before they bite it. And they pass a judgment on it.
Mm-hmm.
They sniff it and go, should I eat this or should I not?
Right.
Even a dog does that.
Okay.
And yet the enemy brings a possible relationship,
mm-hmm.
and we're told, don't sniff it. That is, don't judge it. Don't draw judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Don't judge their walk. If they say they're Christian, then they're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
No. Jesus said, you will know them by having judged their fruit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So be wise as a serpent, but be gentle as a dove. And we must get to the place where I had a lady come up to me in church recently. She was engaged. The person she was engaged to was unfaithful to her. And she said, Pastor, I am being hammered that I should not judge. And I told her, you better judge. You better draw a conclusion from this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're essentially being asked to pluck out our eyes
mm-hmm.
and live blindly.
And not to have boundaries.
And to literally throw common sense judgment out the window. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You will end up in heartache after heartache, mistake after mistake. We are to be judgers of character. Judgers of somebody's walk with God. Is it legitimate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it real? People who go to churches have every right in the world to judge that pastor's walk,
mm-hmm.
judge the leadership's walk,
mm-hmm.
judge what they believe, hold it up to scripture. Just because somebody is charismatic,
mm-hmm.
magnetic, likable,
mm-hmm.
educated,
yes.
handsome, pretty,
yes.
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We are to judge their walk.
And they'll bear fruit.
And yes. And the fruit that they're producing, is it good fruit? Is it bad
right.
fruit? Does it have worms in it? Or is it healthy?
But we're so blindsided. How many times have you counseled people who told you, Pastor, they didn't see it coming?
Oh, over and over again.
Over and over
again.
But
they should have seen it coming.
But they should have seen it. And how much time that distraction has taken from their life
yeah.
to produce them for the kingdom of God.
Oh, I have seen ill-advised relationships totally destroy a Christian's walk and life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they get lured into cults.
Mm-hmm.
This is how. So number one, I think we ought to establish that in this talk on friendships, we need to totally reject this political correct message that we should never judge, but only love.
Mm-hmm.
I contend true love, Christian love, godly love, will judge, will tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
will warn people if mm-hmm. they're in error,
mm-hmm.
will rebuke them if we really love them.
Mm-hmm.
This wishy-washy, squishy, you know, greasy grace, sloppy agape that we're taught on in the PC culture is garbage. Jesus judged all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He, you whited sepulchers, you brood of den of vipers, mm-hmm. you hypocrites. I mean, he judged all the time, and we need judgment, or we can't distinguish between wrong and right, light and dark, good and bad, truth and falsehood. So I encourage the listeners, and as I do our own church and radio audience, I encourage them, certainly you must judge. Certainly you should inspect the life and the character and the walk of people that you're going to invest your heart in and your trust in.
Mm-hmm.
And your walk in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, you know, I've talked to so many sisters and counseled with them. And at one point in their lives, this one sister had been married 5 times. She was like, I can't trust my own sense of judgment anymore.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, that happens. But your first friendship, your first relationship, your first love, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you in that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're off in that relationship, your sense of judgment will be off.
It will. And being a person of Scripture, we must know the Word.
Amen.
Because what you want is you want a friendship that will be truthful with you. You want a friendship where when you get with them, you can freely talk about the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you learning? And
mm-hmm.
how's your prayer life doing?
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to church together.
Mm-hmm.
And let's pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want somebody who will complement and build up your walk with Christ, not
yes.
the opposite.
Yes.
We witness to people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I all the time converse with the ungodly, with people that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit down and chat with them, but I don't run with them. I don't go where they go. I don't do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet in a neutral place. You know, I'll meet in a Starbucks.
Okay.
I'll meet you know, at church, or, you know, if somebody emails me that's heard the radio show, I'll converse back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But will I go to the bars with them? Oh, no. Will I go to some other place that I would have a conscience issue with?
Mm-hmm.
No. I draw a line because I know I must protect my own walk.
Yes. Yes, and I think a lot of that, when people don't, comes out of pride. They may not see it at that time. Oh, I can handle it. Oh, I can change that
yeah.
person. Oh, the God in me will bring them to the place where they need to be. Well, you know what? I had someone very wise many years ago tell me, you cannot be anyone's Holy Spirit.
No, you can't. And even Paul told the married women and men, said, where they were married to an ungodly person who wanted to leave. Paul shot straight in 1 Corinthians. He says, who are you, woman, that you think you're going to save that man? Or who are you, man, that you think you're going to save your wife? In other words, there's no guarantee at all
mm-hmm.
that just because you love them
mm-hmm.
means they're going to be saved.
Right.
So before you marry them, hello, get it. There is no guarantee.
There is no guarantee. Now, there's a part in this book, and it's on, it's in page 47, chapter 3. And I want you to tell the audience what a godly friend looks like. And you have the scripture, Acts 27 and 3.
Well, the godly friend... Acts 27:3 says, he allowed him to go see his friends so they could care for him. I'll tell you what I would look for in a godly friend. I believe the Bible teaches. A, they need to be saved, but they need to be the kind of person who I believe helps your walk with God. A godly friend, the kind of godly friend I would pick would be somebody who is, it goes without saying, they're sold out to Christ.
Amen.
He is Lord. Mm-hmm. They are totally committed to Him. My walk and their walk is similar. The Bible says in a godly friendship, the countenance of your friend, that is the walk of your friend, sharpens you. I want, as a friend, a person who sharpens me, who I can freely talk with about the things of God.
Right.
Who seeks Him like I do. Who's
equally yoked.
It's an equal yoking. They're not going one way and I'm going another.
Right.
And we can talk about that in the next show.
Yes.
But
yes.
There is a graphic description of how a wrong relationship can tear you down or build you up. And it's out of the Psalms. And let's share that next time.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on, Pastor Jeff. Audience, next Saturday, we're going to have Pastor Jeff on for part two. I just want you to tell your friends, grab a cup of coffee, and just don't miss this series on friendships and relationships, how to tell the good ones from the bad ones. And I'm wanting to give you this gift from the Holy Spirit for this time so that you can put into action what you need to do with your own lives for the glory of God and kingdom building for a time such as this, because church, He's on His way back. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Janine.
This time and next, audience, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This show brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.